question for us becomes then, are we willing to go the distance that God asks us to go to at times to do what he wants us to do?
The church is one foundation.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 through 5a. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
Story that you've heard probably at least 100 times, but bears repeating at this time of the year, comes from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, going through verse 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered or taxed. And this was the first registration and was taken while Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to their own town to be registered. Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the word of God. Well, I want to tell you a story this morning. There was a couple, and they were going to a local festival. They were going to meet their children there, and they called ahead and said, "Where do we meet you?" And they said, "We've got chairs set up on this particular corner. You meet us there, and we'll be there." So they got there, and they found their kids there, and they found their seats. But what they didn't count on was the trash dumpster that was sitting right beside them. Now, a trash dumpster by and of itself isn't a bad thing, except this particular trash dumpster dumpster was already pretty well filled with dirty plates and dirty cups and cups filled with already half-drunk stuff. And then, you know, the bugs and the bees and all the other stuff that come with that were also gathering and collecting. It kind of reminded me, when I heard this story, reminded me of my days in Bluffton at the street fair when there's always a collection, a meeting that takes place amongst the bees, and they decide that the third week of September in Bluffton is a great time to have a bee convention. And they all show up and they hang out in the trash dumpsters and wherever. But anyway, that's another point. But anyway, so here's this trash dumpster, and these folks are sitting next to this trash dumpster, and people are coming along, and they're putting their trash in there, and it's getting stinkier and nastier and getting more ugly all the time. And so finally, the wife says to a lady who walks up to her and puts her trash in the dumpster, she said, you know, there's one of those just right across the street that you could take that trash and put it in. It was just a matter of a few steps across the street. She could have walked over there and put it in a pretty empty dumpster. And the lady said to her, she said, the distance is not worth the effort. The distance is not worth the effort. And I got to thinking about that in relationship to the story of Christmas. What would have happened if Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men had considered the distance that it took them to go and the effort that it took them to go to find and to see the baby Jesus? And they would have decided that the distance wasn't worth the effort. Mary and Joseph, first of all, are a young couple. They're betrothed. They're engaged to be married. We know that Joseph could have easily decided to have taken Mary out into a public square and embarrassed her in front of all of his friends and all of her friends and said, I don't want anything to do with this. But he doesn't take the shortcut method. He goes the distance. God says to him, this isn't going to just be any ordinary child. This is going to be a special child, and you need to take care and take this woman that you have made a commitment to and take her unto yourself and love her and love this child and do what I need you to do. So Joseph began the process of going the distance of saying, okay, God, I'll do this. I had no idea what it was going to mean. Had no idea that this child would eventually die at an early age. We don't know what happened to Joseph either. He sort of disappears from the scene after the birth of Jesus in the manger. We don't really know what happened. We know that maybe he lived into Jesus's early childhood, but we really don't know. He just disappears off the face of Scripture. So Joseph goes the distance by taking Mary. Mary goes the distance in going with Joseph to Bethlehem. It wasn't an easy ride, riding on the back of a donkey, being nearly 9 months pregnant. Ladies, you've been pregnant. You know how uncomfortable you are those last days riding on a donkey. Well, it wouldn't be your choice of transportation, would it? Having ridden a camel a few times, I can't even imagine what a donkey'd be like. But Mary went the distance of riding on the back of a donkey to go to Bethlehem. And they would get to Bethlehem thinking that they were going to arrive and perhaps be with family, with friends, only to arrive and discover that there weren't any Hotel Hiltons, there weren't any Hotel Holiday Inns, there weren't any homes of family and friends for them to stay in. They would have to go and stay in a barn, in a stable. Certainly not Community North Hospital, not Marin General, not Parkview, not Lutheran, but a barn. And Mary would go the distance to allow herself to be exposed to maybe disease, difficulty in pregnancy, to be born, to give birth to a child in a barn. Give birth not only to just any ordinary child, but to give birth to the Son of God in a barn. You see, God goes the distance in that story also to allow this to happen. God goes the distance to bring into the world the very Son of God so that you and I would know God's presence in our life. Now, there are some shepherds out there standing in a field who aren't the most well thought of people. They're dirty and they're nasty and they're not the most friendly people and they're not well thought of. And God says, I'm going to tell them first. I'm going to tell them first about this magnificent news that I have to share. Who would have, you know, if you'd have had a shepherd come to you and say, hey, I just heard the best news in the world. I just heard that Jesus Christ was born. Would you believe him? Would you think, you don't know what you're talking about? Why would God come tell you? You're the least of the most important people on earth. But God, in his infinite wisdom, chose again some of the most unusual, most unlikely people to be given this good news. Now, they could have, after seeing all those angels out there in the field, could have just said, oh, we'll just stay right here and stay in the field and just mind our business. But they went the distance to go back into Bethlehem to see, to witness what the angels told them had happened. The distance wasn't too far. The distance was worth it to them to go see. And then a few days later, we're not exactly sure how many days later, we don't know that Joseph and Mary were probably not still in the manger. They were probably somewhere, but they weren't probably still in the barn. These wise men came from afar, having had a conversation with Herod about this child that had been born, and they saw that star. And so they go the distance and come and bring to Jesus gifts of myrrh and gold and frankincense, all gifts that would be necessary for him in his life. Gold, because Mary and Joseph would need money in order to escape to Egypt. The frankincense would be helpful. The myrrh would be indicative of his life to come. He would need the myrrh upon the time of his death to be anointed for death. But the wise men went the distance. Their steps were not too unimportant to go to Bethlehem and see that child. The question for us becomes then, are we willing to go the distance that God asks us to go to at times to do what he wants us to do? Are we afraid, though, that, well, God might ask me to do something that's uncomfortable? God might ask me to do something that I'm not sure about? It might be stinky. It might be stinky, like putting trash in that trash can. I might have to encounter somebody that I don't really want to encounter. You know, I've told you before about, you know, God's been working on me for quite a number of years about tattoos, and I'm getting better with that. You know, I can look past those tattoos, and I can see a person of God's creation and God's making. But there are still times when I see lots and lots of tattoos and less of the person that I have to really struggle with that. But yet I am beginning to get to where I can see that person that God created. So going the distance means that we may have to see people and encounter people that make us uncomfortable or that make us unsure, that make us question. But the question is, will we go the distance? Will we go the distance that God asks us to go? May not always be a long distance, maybe a real short distance. But are we willing to go to the distance that God asks us to go? Because God was willing to step out of the heaven and come the distance for us. Because he understands who we are. We're not always perfect. We're not always gracious. We're not always loving. We're not always compassionate. We're not always who and what we should be. But yet God loved us so much that he was willing to step out of heaven, bring forth his son into our world, that we might come to see the fullness and the love and the light and the grace of God for each of us. That we might then go the distance for someone else. That they might hear, they might see, and they might know the love of God for them. So I leave you with this question. Will you go the distance that God invites you to go because God went the distance for you? Amen.
The church is one foundation.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.